If you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians, all right? We're going to begin in the 12th verse. And we're going to talk about a mindset that the Apostle Paul has with his life and with his death. And it's my prayer this morning that you will catch it and that you will begin to live it, all right? So Paul says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He's talking about being put in prison, all right? I wonder if you'd write that if someone just threw you in prison. But that's what Paul writes. He says it's advanced the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here in the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Father, I would pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us today. And Lord, I ask that we could have a biblical worldview and a biblical view of our life and our death. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The very first point in your outline, putting the Apostle Paul in prison could not hinder the gospel. Putting the Apostle Paul in prison could not hinder the gospel. Paul was put into prison. If you were thrown into prison, I wonder how you would think about that and what you would think. You see, look at your next point. Paul told all the soldiers guarding him about Jesus. It says it's become apparent through the whole palace guard, I'm here because of Jesus Christ. And what the Apostle Paul did is he continued to preach Christ. If you turn to 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, listen to what Paul says. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Now listen, but God's word is not chained. Church, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you allow the world to close your mouth when it comes to Jesus? That's what the world wants to do. They want to keep you quiet. The world wants to tell you that you will offend somebody. They even try to tell Christians today it's against the law to speak about Jesus. I need to tell you this morning that's wrong. You talk about my Savior all you want, okay? You can tell everybody you want to tell about Jesus. But the world wants to chain the gospel. The world wants to stop the gospel. But when they put Paul in prison, it did not stop the gospel. He says, it's become apparent to the entire palace guard that I'm here because of Jesus Christ. In other words, he kept right on talking about Jesus. I also need to remind you right now that it's the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord. Hallelujah. That's actually next week's message, but I had to throw it out there today. Don't stop speaking about Jesus. Keep talking about him. Keep living for him. All right? Your next point, fearless faith is contagious. Do you see this? It says, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they dare all the more, it says, to proclaim the gospel without fear. Church, don't be afraid. Whenever you go to witness, all right, this week I'm going to go to the Farm Tech Days. I'm going to give away walking sticks for 3 days. I'm going to tell everybody I meet about Jesus. But when you go there, you go uptown in Lake Geneva. We've been giving them away up there. You go up there. The first thing the devil tries to do is go, you know, I don't think people want to hear about Jesus. They're going to make fun of you. What if the police come? To which I answer, I'll tell them about Jesus. But you see, there's an enemy, and the enemy wants to keep you quiet, and he wants to stop you. And fear tries to set in. And Paul says, because of what's happened to me, I've been thrown in prison, you see. Remember last week, we talked about him coming to Philippi, and they delivered a young girl from a demonic spirit, and they beat him, and they put him in jail. And as a result, the jailer got saved, and his whole family. It's my prayer this morning you can get over the fear. Can you get over the fear to tell your neighbor about Jesus? I love to see people's face when I tell them what I do. And you got to be a little careful, you know, because they'll get quiet right away and start thinking, oh, what did I say and what did I do? And I'm like, relax, you know. Be fearless. Don't be afraid, all right? Fearless faith is contagious. It will catch on. We need to lead the way, Mount Zion Christian Church, all right? Now look at your next point. The important thing for Paul is that Christ was being preached. Paul says, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. He says, the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. And then he says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that Christ is preached. See, there were people out there saying, if we can cause an uproar in the city, and if we can make this Jesus king, and they get upset because they think Caesar's king, they'll punish Paul and they'll give him a harder time because he started this thing in Philippi. And Paul says, what does it matter? Christ is preached. He wanted Christ to be preached. Now, I need to be very specific on something here. Paul is fine if somebody preaches Christ the proper way with the wrong motive. Is everybody listening? But you know what really bothers him? Is when people distort the truth and they preach a gospel that's not true. That bothers Paul. You have to make a distinction here, church. It's why when somebody preaches or when somebody speaks to you about God, you need to discern and you need to judge what they say and you need to go to the Word of God and you have to say, is this the true gospel or have they distorted it? Are they pulling me to the right or to the left? And you have to stay on the road and you have to check it in the Word of God, church. But when it comes to the motive here, Paul says, as long as they're preaching Christ crucified, risen from the dead, the only way to salvation, he says, Christ is preached, even if they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Now I'm going to ask a question. Has anybody in here ever heard of a pastor messing up, falling from grace, getting into trouble. Anybody here ever heard of that? I kind of thought it might be that way. And then this is what, I've gone through this so many times with so many different pastors and so many people. And then they say, but what do we do? He's a wonderful teacher. His messages were so good. Do we throw them away? That's what people say. Do we throw them away? Do we quit listening? What do? And my answer is no. Discern. Take what's the word of God from God's word. Take the truth and absorb the truth, all right? And then let God deal with the rest, okay? Let God deal with that person. Here's another way I like to put it. When you need to water plants, or when you need a drink of water, or you want to wash your car, are you interested in the hose or the water? Stop and think about it for a moment. What do you want? Do you go, oh, that hose looks terrible, I'm not going to drink the water? Do you say, no, I'm not going to wash my car because that hose doesn't look right? Same with the gospel. The gospel is living water, church. And you have to discern. And if someone has a moral failure or their character is not correct, and you've listened to them, take the gospel, take the good, and keep your eyes upon Jesus, all right? Another way to put it is this. I want you to hear the word of God today. I want you to learn the word of God today. It's okay with me if you forget who spoke it to you this morning. Is that clear? I actually want Mount Zion to get to a place where no matter who stands up here, they present the gospel, they give you the living water, and you walk out of here and you don't know who presented it. And it would touch your heart in such a way that you would say, it was awesome, God was in that place. You see, the key for the Apostle Paul is that Christ is preached. Jesus had the same struggle. Mark chapter 9, all right, verses 38 and 39. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. He says, anybody, if they're not against us, they're for us. That's what Jesus says. Are you listening, church? Human beings are sinners. Everyone that preaches the gospel is going to mess up. Now, I'm not condoning bad character and immoral living, but I'm telling you, this is what you do. If somebody falls from grace, take the gospel and let God take care of the one presenting the gospel. Is that clear? Very good. So important, all right? Look at your next point. The center of Paul's life is the same on earth as it is in heaven. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who or what is the center of your life this morning? The Apostle Paul goes on in the text. He says, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. Listen, whether by life or by death. I want to stop for a moment. Do you realize the Apostle Paul could be killed in prison? You see, we read this and we say, well, when does Paul get out? You know, his sentence was probably for so long. Paul didn't know that he was going to get out of prison. He could die there. If they stir up enough trouble for him, they could execute him as an example of don't preach the gospel. Verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Hear the point again. The center of Paul's life is the same on earth as it is in heaven. And Paul says, it's needful that I stay here with you and that I preach the gospel and I can help you, church. But he also says, you know what? I'm torn between the two. He said, I would rather die and be with Jesus. Who's the center of your life this morning, church? Is the center of your life the same here on earth as it's going to be in heaven? Because I'm here to tell you, if you're going to heaven, Jesus is going to be the center of your life. And the trouble we have is we get so attached to this world and we want to hang on, you see, and we just want to hold on to this world. And we love it here because it's so awesome, isn't it? You're not convinced. Do you have the attitude that the Apostle Paul had? You know what else it makes you? It makes you fearless. I don't know about you folks, but I can't lose. If I live, I'm going to preach the gospel till I die. And when I die, I'm going to be with the Jesus, the one that I've been preaching about. So can I lose? No, I can't lose. How about you? What's the center of your life? Hear what Paul says. Paul says, I'm torn between the two. He says, if I'm to go on living in this body, it will mean fruitful labor. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ. What's your attitude? What's your attitude in the matter? Paul was essentially saying, you know what? If your prayers and my prayers aren't answered, and if they kill me here, I'm okay with that. I wonder if anybody in here is in a situation now and you're going, I just want out of this, Lord. I want to get out of here, you know? Anybody here upset with your situation? Look at the Apostle Paul. Get a biblical attitude. Paul says, if I stay, I'll preach the gospel. If he takes me, I'm happy. I want to be with Jesus. What's your mindset this morning, church? As Christians, we can't lose. I can't lose. You can be fearless. You don't have to be afraid. People come up to me and they say, aren't you afraid to ride your motorcycle? And then I know what's coming after that. They're going to tell me the last big accident they saw. They're going to tell me who died and how they died and who got hurt and what's going on. And quite frankly, I go like this. I say, well, compared to my first careers, being a pastor and riding a motorcycle is the safest thing I've ever done in my life. You see, I was a dairy farmer. It's third or fourth or fifth on the list of the most dangerous things to do. And I'm proud of the fact I have all 10 toes and all 10 fingers. I mean, we climb up silos that nobody's been on that ladder for years, and then nobody knows if it's going to last when you're up there. I mean, we stand next to moving parts and machinery, and it's dangerous, but God has to keep us. So then I quit farming, and I went into a career where I wound big garage door springs. And it's the same thing. You're winding a garage door spring. They're saying, well, I heard those things are dangerous. You know, I know I have a friend that lost his finger the other day, you know, when this, and I'm like, gee, thanks a lot. I like that. Yeah, great outlook on life, isn't it? But who keeps us, church? Who keeps us? Who's the center of your life? Now, I don't test the Lord my God. I know what the scripture says. I don't go do dangerous things. I try to listen to him. I can give you an example. Yesterday I was going someplace. It was an hour away. I wanted to ride my motorcycle. I argued with God all morning. I started at about 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, Lord, I want to ride my motorcycle. He said, take your truck. I said, Lord, I want to ride my motorcycle. Take your truck. I want to ride my motorcycle. Take your truck. So I drove my truck. You know what I found on the way to my hour drive is that they were doing road construction. You ever been on one of those highways where one side's been blacktopped and the other isn't, and there's a sharp edge 3 or 4 inches deep? And I said, Oh, Lord, am I glad I brought my truck. Who's the center of our life, church? And Paul is saying, if God doesn't keep me and if he lets him kill me, I'm good. I'm ready to go. Our question right now should be, how in the world do you get that kind of mindset in life? How do you get that way? Here's your next point. Divine revelation and God-ordained experience brought Paul to this conclusion. We're going to back up. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians right now, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say or because of those surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, I believe this was Paul. If it wasn't Paul, it was somebody that he knew really well, and he believed every word that he said. And he said there was someone caught up into paradise and heard things I couldn't utter. It's not because he didn't want to speak them. It's because there's not enough words in our language to express what God has prepared for those that are his, you see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Mind, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for what? Those who love him. But what? The Spirit reveals them. Paul had revelation of what was waiting for us. And he said, I can't even explain it to you people. Revelation that caused Paul to say, I'd rather be with Jesus, man. You ought to see where we're going, church. It's awesome. If you could see it, you'd want to be there. That's what Paul said. I'm torn between this life and my next life. I want to go. But in the meantime, it'll be helpful for me to stay here. Do you have that attitude? Think about Paul's experiences. Are you ready? How many miracles happened through the Apostle Paul? My goodness, they heal a guy. They wanted to turn him into gods. Remember that? They started to worship them, and they tore their clothes. Said, no, worship God alone. How many times was Paul beaten, and yet the Lord delivered him? Remember when the chains fell off in the Philippian jail? And the earth quaked, and the whole crew was set free, and the jailer was going to kill himself. And he said, don't touch yourself. It's okay. We're all here. And his whole family got saved. He was stoned. The Apostle Paul was stoned and he was drug outside the city and they thought he was dead, okay? And it says that the saints came, all the Christians came and they gathered around him and they prayed. And he got up and then he left the city, right? No, he walked right back in the city and said, hey guys, how you doing? Turn to somebody and say, this is Pastor Dave's thought. Go ahead. See, I can't prove it, it's not biblical, but I think when they stoned him and thought he was dead, that maybe that's when he was caught up into the third heaven. Can't say it for sure. Don't know if Paul will tell me or not if I ever meet him. But I think it's a pretty good idea. He was in shipwrecks. He floated to shore. He was just helping them get some firewood so that they could start a nice hot fire because he was a prisoner there, remember that? And what happened? A poisonous serpent latches onto him and he shakes it off into the fire. And what did they do? They sat around. They said, this guy is really one bad dude and God has judged him. And they sat around waiting for him to swell up and die, and he didn't swell up and die. And he went to the ruler of that island and he healed him and his family, and salvation came to the isle. See, I believe when they stoned him, I don't know if he was dead or he wasn't dead, but I think he was raised from the dead. And then you remember when he preached too long? Remember the Apostle Paul? He was preaching for hours all night long and they had lamps burning, eating up the oxygen, and a young guy sitting in the window trying to get some air, Eutychus, he fainted and he fell out of the third story window, and they think he died down there. And Paul was not just raised from the dead. He went down and grabbed him and he embraced him and he said, don't worry, everything will be okay. And he came back to life, and then they brought him upstairs and Paul preached the rest of his sermon, right? And he got this mindset where he said, God, it's not up to me, it's up to you. If I go on living, I'm going to give it all I have here, Lord. But if you take me, it's fine with me. I'm torn between the two. I'd rather be with you, Lord Jesus. Next point, the reality of heaven makes life on earth a joyful, fruitful adventure. Now, church, what is your view? Do you have a biblical view? Do you love Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you have that idea of heaven? Heaven is a real place. It's a reality. And the reality of heaven makes life on earth a joyful, fruitful adventure, no matter what's going on. And if you're in here today going, but he has no clue what kind of a pickle I'm in, I'm here to tell you I don't know, but Jesus knows. And watch out if you call on his name. Everything could change. Everything could change. It's an opportunity for him to work a miracle. You say, oh, Pastor, you don't know the person that's mad at me and the person I'm mad at. And I say, there's an opportunity for a miracle. Last question. Do you have a biblical outlook on your life? Do you have a biblical outlook on your death? See, I'm not excited about how it's going to happen, folks, but I'm excited about being with Jesus. And you know, I have all kinds of requests. I say, hey, Lord, I want to see all my grandkids get married and stuff like that. But you know what? Maybe I'll get a different view from heaven. I don't know. But what I want to do is I tell Jesus, it's okay with me. You're in charge, all right? You do the work. You do the work. Do you have a biblical outlook on your life and on your death? So I get to go to a lot of people's homes when Jesus is ready to take them home. Do you know that? And people always ask me questions. They say, what's it like? What's going to happen? We don't know what it's going to... Oh, my goodness, we're afraid. And I say, don't be afraid. Be there. Especially when they're a Christian. Especially when they love Jesus Christ. I say, you be there. And I say, you're going to experience a peace like you can't believe. And I believe with all my heart, church, that God comes and he takes the soul. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Been there several times, but there are a couple. I want to tell you about one. I went to see a man by the name of Noel Carroll. And they called me and they said, man, it's not long. You know, it's not going to be long. And I went and I saw Noel. And Noel had never been baptized. And he said, I want to be baptized. And he goes, I know it doesn't mean I'm any more saved, but I'd like to be baptized. Before I go home, I said, fine. And I went over, and his son Aaron is one of my good friends, and his daughter-in-law Jody's on our worship team. And I went there, and the whole family was gathered around, and we baptized. We poured water on Noel's head, and it was the greatest conversation with a man. And he looked at the family, and he said, hey, did you call the undertaker yet? I'm ready. I'm like, Noel, he said, I'm ready. Anytime. Ready to go. I said, Noel, I didn't ask this question. Somebody in the family said, what are you going to say to Jesus when you meet him? He said, I'm going to tell him everybody on this side's ready. Come back. Amen. Prayed for him, left that day. Next day you get a call. Noel's with Jesus. I can't tell you, church, how awesome it is. There was another time, the precious lady, Leela Knopp, I just loved her. She was in her 90s, and they called me, and they said, she doesn't have long. Please come over and see her. And I went to her house, and I went and I sat down with her, and I spoke to her for a little while, and then she just went off to sleep, see? And so I sat there for about 40 minutes praying. I was just praying in the Spirit, and I was saying, Lord Jesus, just come and get her, man. She wants to go, you see? I'm talking about a biblical view of life and death, church. And I was there for 40, 45 minutes, I don't know, praying at her bedside. And then she woke up and she opened her eyes and she saw me and she was so depressed. And she looked at me and she went, oh. You know, building my confidence. And I looked at her and she said, I'm sorry. She said, I wanted to open my eyes and see Jesus. Folks, I'll take a back seat to him any day. But I learned what a biblical view of life and death is. So this morning, church, where are you at? Is the center of your life the same here on earth as it is in heaven? If you're in here this morning and you say, oh, if I die, Pastor, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Don't leave here just hoping you're going to go to heaven, all right? 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. The Apostle John says, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And he says, I've written these things so that you may know. Listen to what the scripture says. It doesn't say so that you may hope that you have eternal life. He says, so that you may know. Romans 8:16, so that your spirit and God's spirit bear witness that you're an heir with Christ. If you're in here this morning, you're going, oh man, you know, Pastor, I hope I'm going to make it. You know, I'm not too bad of a person. Don't walk out the back door. I'm going to pray in a moment. Come up here and talk to one of us and say, I just want to be sure. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to ask you a few questions and we're going to pray with you. The Bible says, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, he says, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Have you ever confessed Jesus before man openly without fear and saying, yes, he's my Lord and Savior? Church, the scariest thing for me is that somebody in this place would think they're going to heaven and not make it. So, Father, we come to you today, and Lord, you know every heart in this place, and you know every person in here, and you know the destiny of every soul. And, Father, I pray this morning that you would take your word and that you would let it accomplish what you sent it to do, and that we could all be like the Apostle Paul, who says, as long as I'm here, it'll be fruitful for all of you, but I'm torn, and I would rather be with Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Father, come this morning with the power of your Holy Spirit and adjust our thinking. Adjust our hearts, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, move us from this place to a place in the world where we share you with everyone we talk to, everyone we see, every opportunity you give us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that salvation will come to Walworth County and to the ends of the earth through this small congregation in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. We'll be up here. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go in peace to be a witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.